1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Now watch it. Verse 4. Who will have all men to be saved? Well, how are you saved? What is the power of God unto salvation? Romans 1:16 says the gospel, but he said, who will have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. There are two things in that verse. In other words, God's will for you, everybody here, number one is to be saved, and number two is to know Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, or come unto the knowledge of the truth. And so that's what establishes the believer in Christ. Now, the gospel, notice what he says. Turn back with me and look in, just turn over to 1 Corinthians. And notice in 1 Corinthians chapter, notice in chapter 1, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Alright, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul said there in verse 17, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. That's what the world looks at it. That's why they call it a slaughterhouse religion. That's why they say we're fanatical about Jesus Christ. To them is foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. In other words, we realize how we got saved. We realize that it's by the cross that we have eternal life. We realize that Jesus Christ's death on that cross in AD 33 was for us. And that my salvation is not resting upon what I do, what I say, where I go. It's resting upon the fact that Jesus Christ died for me and was buried and God raised him from the dead. Now notice what he said, come down to verse 21. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that what? Believe what? It had to be the gospel of verse 17. Notice in 2 Corinthians, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, notice verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, can't see it, it is hid to them that are what? Lost. Why? In whom the god of this world, as Satan, hath blinded the minds of them which what? Do you know only way that your mind can be blinded from that gospel is to not believe it? And you refuse to believe the good news, Satan blinds your mind, and many people are blinded through religion. And they think that they're salvation. I had a man the week, just a couple, matter of fact, 2 weeks ago. And I was talking to him. And this man said, salvation is based upon my actions. And I said, well, what actions can you do for God Almighty to accept you? He said, well, I must live a holy life. And I said, how you do that. Tell me how you can live a whole, well, I live without sinning. If I sin, I'll go to hell. I said, well, what are you going to do with your flesh? He couldn't comprehend what I was getting at. The Bible says, Paul said, there dwelleth no, that is in my flesh, no good thing. For the will, he said, when I do good, evil is present with me. He said, the things that I want to do, I find myself not. I don't have the power to do that I don't want to do. That's what I end up doing. And it's no longer I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. The greatest Christian that ever walked in shoe leather after he was saved, been saved for 25 years, are you listening to me? Wrote in Romans 7, he said, I am carnal, sold unto sin. No way. How in the world can your actions do anything to please God? Can't. God's will for you to be saved. Now here's the second. Come unto the knowledge of the truth, the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery. Now look at this thing. Now I want to talk to you for a moment. God wants you to be established. That word established there is to fix. To be solid. To make firm. Strengthen to stand. Rooted and grounded where you won't be swayed. Now look at the difference in these things. Turn with me back to Matthew and look in Matthew. In Matthew, notice in Matthew 13, and I'm going to make an application of this. Notice in Matthew chapter 13, notice verse 3. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, the sower went forth to sow. Now, what in the world was he sowing? Well, look in, down in verse 37. And he answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. So, the good seed. He's sowing something. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but tares are the children of the eagle. Now, notice back in the parable now. He said he went forth to sow, went forth to sow. When he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth. And forthwith they sprung up, because they had no depthness of the earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Now folks, you know, I've seen that over the years. They come and go. If we had everybody that came here and was excited about the Word of God rightly divided, we'd have to build a new building. But something seems to happen. And that seems to happen is, if they get a little pressure put on them, they get a little persecuted, if they start, somebody puts pressure on them on what they believe, they hightail it. They do like Hank Snow, that old song Hank Snow sung, I'm a moving on. And they move on. No pressure. Notice down in verse 21, here, notice what he said, 20. But he that received the seed in the stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and ain't on with joy receive it. They're glad, they're happy, and with joy they receive it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but doeth for a while. But when the tribulation and persecution arises because of the word, by and by he is offended. There's the thing. You'll see it also in Luke. Turn over to the book of Luke and notice the interpretation in Luke. You'll find that where he said in Luke chapter 8, verse 13. In Luke chapter 8, verse 13. It's the same parable, but he gives a little bit more, a different light. Verse 13, they on the rock are they, which when they hear, receive the word with joy. So they receive this word with joy. And these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among the thorns, then the cares of this world choke them out. I'm interested in no root. They're not established. They might be saved, but they're not established. They might be established as far as their salvation is concerned, but they're not established doctrinally according to the revelation of the mystery. They're saved, but they never come unto the knowledge of the truth. And until people come unto the knowledge of the truth, they'll never enjoy the blessings of the Lord Jesus Christ and this Bible rightly divided. Now we call ourselves Charity Bible Church. This is where we present the Bible. This is not a social gathering. I tell people, we don't come here. I enjoy you fellowship. I want people to talk to me. I want people to fellowship with me. You want people to fellowship. But if nobody never said a word to me, I'd come, and if I came and nobody said nothing to me, I would still come. Why? I'm coming for the Word of God. We want people to come because they enjoy the Word of God rightly divided. We want people to come so they can learn and be established in the truth, and they can have an understanding about this Bible that the religious systems of the world can't give you. Now, if you want a social gathering, if you want a place where I hear people say, there's nothing for the youth, there's nothing for socially. Well, folks, that's why they have the YMCA. That's why they have these other clubs and organizations. This is Charity Bible Church. It's not a club. It's not something you come to socialize. It's good to socialize, but that's not the reason you're here. And if that's the reason you're here, sad, sad, sad. I ain't going to say what I started today. We want people to love the book. I'd rather have 5 people in my congregation that love the Word of God rightly divided than to have a 500, a bunch of socializing. I ain't going to say that either. And that's the only reason they come. I want people to love the book. I want you to come. Now Paul said, "Stab," because if you don't, if you just come, oh, I see that, I enjoy that, praise the Lord, glory, hallelujah, and then all of a sudden, the heat's turned on. You go up there, you go to that cult, you go to that church where they don't practice water baptism. A man said to me that, "You don't baptize?" And I said, "I'm like Paul. I baptize my few and I don't baptize anymore." And they can't take it. And they leave when the pressure's on. Why? Well, they didn't come for the right reason. They're not established. They're like this. Let's look at some things about it. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 5. This is the way a lot of Christians are. Hebrews chapter 5. In Hebrews chapter 5. Now, I hope you're not like this. Hebrews chapter 5, notice in verse 12. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers. Now, Lord, you've had time, you ought to be able to teach this book. You ladies, you ought to be able to teach young ladies. That's what the Bible says. You older ladies, hang on to Hebrews there. Why don't we just turn back to Titus just a moment. A rabbit just jumped up, and I want to get him before he gets gone. Look in Titus. You know, notice in Titus chapter 2, verse 1, "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience." The aged, now folks, women, you might be young physically, but the aged in the Lord. That's what I'm getting at. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh what? Holiness. Not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. Why, Paul? That they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Isn't that something? You ladies, you Christian women, you ought to be able to teach the young women how they ought to act. You know what's wrong? A lot of times they don't have no teachers. There's no upbringing anymore. I mean, we live in a society where the children just let God done as they please. They took the discipline out of the homes. They took it out of the schools. And that only leaves law enforcement to discipline the people anymore. And folks, we're living in a godless society. And I'm not... this is on tape, and if... You know, they probably could take it out of context and say, "I'm preaching something else." I'm just reading you the book. Your job, ladies, is to teach the young women. But I hope you can teach them. I hope you're established enough to teach them. Look what he said. "For when for the time," back in Hebrews, "ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk, and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is what? A babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, even to those by reason of the use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." Look back in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and see what Paul says about it. Folks, there's people here, you ought to be able to take this Bible and show people how to rightly divide this Bible. It's the job of my job as a pastor to perfect the saints so that you can do the work of the ministry. But if you will not grow and be established, you will not pay attention, you will not read your Bible, then you will answer to God Almighty someday why you didn't grow in the grace and the knowledge of His Son. How many in here believe that that Bible you've got in your lap is the Word of God? Let's see. Do you believe it? Do you believe God wrote it? If God wrote that book, then that is the most prized possession that you've got in your house. Would you agree with that? That's the only thing that God Almighty physically gave you that you can put your hands on and say, "This is from God. The words that are in this book are God's words." Well, how come you don't read it then? Huh? Now either you don't really believe that, Are you a baby? Now, I wouldn't take little Sean back there and try to give him a steak. Tracy and them, they wouldn't try that. But now old Doug over there, you could probably fix him a steak and he'd eat it. Why? Full grown. I'm not picking on Doug. I'm not saying that. All of us would. Do you see the difference? Folks, there are people that have been saved and they're not established because they won't study, they won't listen, they won't heed, they will not get into this book and rightly divide it. I've talked to preachers that didn't know enough about the Bible to carry on a decent conversation, and yet they get up every Sunday morning and try to teach people. And they're babes themselves. Boy, that's something. What a rip. Look in 1 Corinthians. He said in chapter 3, verse 1, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto the spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet" what? You know what the sign of carnality is? That's somebody that's not interested in the Bible. You know what the sign of carnality is? That's somebody that comes to the church to have a good time, to socialize, and to carry on, but they're not interested in rightly dividing the word of truth. They're not interested in being rooted and grounded in the Lord Jesus Christ. They're not interested in growing in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they'll never be established because they're still babes in Christ and they're carnal. Are you carnal? Well, turn with me and let's look at 1 Thessalonians. Established. You know why you should be established? Because you're going to a judgment. Look in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. The Bible says in verse 12. Well, let's read verse 11. "Now God Himself and our Father and the Lord and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you, and the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you." Now watch it. To the end He may establish your hearts. What's that next word? Unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all the saints. You know what He's talking about? He's talking about establishing you unblameable. Folks, at the judgment seat of Christ, you're going to have to give an account as to why you didn't grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're going to have to give an account. You're going to be blameable at the judgment seat of Christ for not being rooted and grounded in Him and have an understanding of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. For instance, back here, old John the Baptist comes on the scene, and he comes and he makes manifest the King of Israel, Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ comes here, and John baptizes him. You have in here the ministry of Christ, Matthew through John. They nail him to the cross. He dies. You have the book of Acts. He chose out 12 men. They go out into the book of Acts here. You know what they're preaching? Turn with me to Acts. Look in Acts. And my time's about gone, but loose in Acts. Acts chapter, let's just read verse, well, look in Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, the 12's here, they're filled with the Holy Spirit. All of this was prophesied. All of this had to do with some prophecy that was back there. John the Baptist, Isaiah chapter 40, he's the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Jesus Christ, he's the root of Judah. He's the King. He's the Messiah, comes. And you have all, and he's fulfilling prophecy all the way up. And when he gets all of the prophecies fulfilled, you know what he says? And this is in John chapter 17. Father, I have finished the work that thou hast given me to do. And on the cross, to fulfill the last verse of prophecy, he says, I thirst. And they give him vinegar. And he turns his head and he gives up the ghost. Everything that he's doing in here is fulfilling the prophetic program that was prophesied about him. The Holy Spirit, according to Joel chapter 2, comes on the day of Pentecost. The 12 get baptized with the Holy Spirit, endues them with power to go out. Now watch what they preach. Verse 22, Acts 2, ye men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did by him in your midst, in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determined counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holding it. He told them in verse 23, he said, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified. Notice he said, verse, come over to chapter 3. In chapter 3, notice in verse 14, but ye denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murder to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. Why, folks, he's talking about, They're telling you killed the Messiah. He's bringing a murder indictment against them. He said, ye by wicked hands have killed him. He's the King of Kings. He's the Prince of Life. He's your Messiah. Even Pilate said, shall I crucify your king? And they said, we'll have no king but Caesar. We have not this man to rule over us. And folks, they denied him as the king. They nailed him to a cross. He said, you by wicked hands have crucified your prince, your Messiah. He was the Christ. And God has raised him from the dead. Folks, they knew him as the King of Israel. And they expected him to come back. Notice in Acts chapter 1. In Acts chapter 1, in verse 6, Acts 1, 6, when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? Look in Acts chapter 3. In Acts chapter 3, notice what he said. Verse 18, but all those things which God before has showed, what? By the mouth of who? All of his prophets, that Christ should suffer, he has so fulfilled. Everything that they said about him, he fulfilled them all. He's done. Now watch. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, under the heavens must receive until the times of the restitution. And that's the second coming of Christ over here. And folks, he's the king. You know what it says in Revelation, he's riding on that white horse. You know what it says? He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The king's coming, and he's going to set up a kingdom, and he's going to establish it, and they're going to get their sins remitted and took away and brought it out over there. They knew him as the prince. They knew him as the king. But folks, the body of Christ, that won't establish you. You got to know him as the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. Well, what's that? Well, look in Ephesians chapter 3. You know, the majority of the sermons that's preached today come out of the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Now, folks, I realize these are great books, and I love Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. All the Bible, all 66 books of it, all the Old Testament back here. Folks, it's for me. It's for my learning. It's for my admonition. I see how God worked in time past. Back here would be time past. And it would cover all of this over to here. Time past. Then you have Paul lays it out, but now. And then the ages to come over here. And folks, this age to come over here, this is a kingdom that's going to be established. And they're going to sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And the law's going out of Jerusalem. And nations is going to be under the domain of Israel again one time. And there's going to be 12 boundaries set up and all of this. And you know what it says over here? He said when he comes, he's going to rule with a rod of iron. It's going to be a dictatorship. He's going to be the dictator. And folks, it's going to be, he's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and he's going to establish all of that. And that's in your Bible. And that's for me. But it's not to me as a member of the body of Christ. I'm interested in the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery in Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, notice what he said in verse 1. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you've heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given me to you, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by what? Now what gospel is that? Back here they preached the gospel of the kingdom. And Jesus Christ preached the kingdom as a hand. Back here in Matthew, a woman came up to him, a Gentile woman. He didn't pay her no attention. In Matthew chapter 15, she's crying after him. And she said, my daughter's grievously vexed with the devil. Have mercy on me. He just ignored her. Finally, the disciples came up to him and said, Lord, do something about this woman. She's crying after us. And he turns to her and he said, I'm not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. In Matthew chapter 10, he said, go not into the way of the Gentiles, or any city of the Samaritans enter ye not in. Jesus Christ would not have given you the time of day in his earthly ministry back here. Why? In Romans 15:8, he said he's a minister of the circumcision, confirming the promises made unto the fathers. The circumcision is Israel. He's coming to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. You want to know about the lost sheep? Read Jeremiah 23. You want to see them lost sheep that's scattered on the mountains? You go and look in Jeremiah. You look in Ezekiel. You'll see them lost sheep that he's going after. He's coming there. He gets a remnant. It's called a new nation in here. That new nation, Isaiah said, a nation will be born in a day. And folks, he starts at 12 out as a little flock. It's the new nation of Israel coming out of apostate Israel that God Almighty had despised. And he had divorced them. And so he begins, and this new nation goes, and he preaches unto these people. 3,000 are saved. 5,000 are saved in here. And the thing's going on. And they're looking for that kingdom to come over here. They're looking for Jesus to come back. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But something happened. He didn't come back. It's been 2,000 years. Why has there been such a gap in between here? God had a new purpose. God had you in mind before the foundation of the world. And he saves the Apostle Paul and sends him out with the gospel of the grace of God. And it's called the dispensation of grace. God saving sinners that don't deserve to be saved and putting them in a body. And that body is called the body of Christ in your Bible. And God's building a church that's made of not male or female, Gentile or nothing. They're no Jew or Gentile. It's a spiritual body. You can't see it, feel it, touch it, or hear it. It's there. Everybody that trusts Christ as their Savior, it's in that church. And He's the head of the church. Turn with me to Colossians. And folks, that mystery was a secret that wasn't revealed in the Old Testament by care. You can't find it in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You can't find it in Genesis through Malachi. He didn't write it down. He wrote the death of cross down. And that cross becomes our salvation over here. But only till Paul reveals it did anybody know about it. You can't find this body. It's a mystery. Look in Colossians chapter 2. Notice how he says there. And by the way, looking back in chapter 1. Verse 24, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh, for his body's sake, which is the church. Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given me to you, for you to fulfill the word of God. That's why there's a gap in here. You know, you come out of the book of Acts, and if you went into Hebrews through Revelation, you wouldn't know how to get saved. I mean, folks, Paul fulfilled the Word of God. And you know when he wrote that? 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, Revelation, the book of John, the Gospel of John, wasn't even wrote. Paul never read them books. I doubt very seriously if Paul ever wrote Mark. Paul quotes Luke. Most of these books, he probably read 1 Peter. All I'm trying to get you to say, he never read them, he never saw them, he didn't have. But he said, I fulfilled the word of God for you Gentiles. Do you know where your doctrine is at? It's right in here. Don't let nobody pull no wool over your eyes and try to put you back under the law back here or over here. You're under grace. You're dead to the law. That's rightly dividing. One other thing. Look what he said.
in Colossians. He said there in verse 19, and not holding the head, from which all the body by joints and hands and nourishment minister. Gee, we know Jesus Christ as the head. And Alan read, He's the Savior of the body. These people can lose their salvation, but yours is complete in Him. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. This will establish you. God wants you saved, and He wants you to come under the knowledge of the truth and be established in this Bible. You can't be established in this Bible in a denominational system, because that denominational system will teach the denominational doctrine, which is contrary to this doctrine. Guarantee you. Y'all still love me? I do you. Now don't go away telling people that our preacher won't let us socialize. I want you to be social. I want you to shake people's hands. I want you to say, I'm glad to see you, good to see you today. But I want you, number one reason to come is for this Holy Bible and right division. Amen. Well, my voice is gone and I'm fixing